Good to see everybody. We have some visitors with us, so we're glad you came our way. And so I see there's a lot of empty seats out there. Those people are going to be so disappointed because I think tonight's lesson is going to be a short lesson. So anyway, we're talking about little words, important words, and powerful words. Of course, we're talking about words that come from the Bible. And so in Romans 15:4, like we quoted this morning, these things were written for our instruction, for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, we know words are important. It's how we communicate. And they're used to instruct. And these words are used in our language. And Bible words are important also. So we need to remember that. Bible words are important, and what God said is important. A lot of people kind of don't really pay attention to the words God uses, but they are some important words. So let's notice some small words that are powerful, and then we'll probably come up with some other words as we go along. But do, that's a short word, we know that. But in Deuteronomy 6:1 says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it." You know, God gives us a command. We're not supposed to treat it like a suggestion. It is a command. And what are we supposed to do with the command? We're supposed to do it. And that's what God was teaching the children of Israel before they went into the promised land. You need to do what God tells you to do. And it's not a suggestion. Well, it's optional. And there's so much of what God commands that people treat as optional these days. In John 2:5, greatest piece of advice, his mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I mean, this is the best advice ever. And that'd make a great commercial if you think about it. What Jesus, they say, she said, "Look at him, that is Jesus. Whatever he says to do, do it." Great advice. That's what we need to learn. Whatever Jesus says, we need to do it. And when you think about it, the Bible, the Word of God, comes from Jesus. It is his teaching. It is what God gave him the commission to do. You teach these people. And so the Scriptures are the words of Christ. They are the words of God. They are the words of the Holy Spirit. And so that is some great advice. Now, 2 Peter 1:10. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Now, what things is he talking about? Of course, that adding, being, supplying all diligence, add to your faith the virtue or moral excellence, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and the love. All these things. As long as you do these things, you will never stumble. And he just previously in verse 8 said, if you don't do these things, it renders you blind and short-sighted, having forgotten your purification from your former sins. And so, we need to do these things. That's what we're supposed to add to our faith. And so, we need to do those things. In James 1:22, it says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Yeah, we can understand this. A lot of people hear what God has to say, but they don't do it. James says, you do what it is. Don't be just the hearers only. Hearers only, they don't accomplish anything. See, he goes on to say in verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." We kind of mentioned this morning. When we do what God wants us to do, We're blessed. We get to be blessed. And he does that time and time again throughout the scriptures. If you will do it, then I will bless you. We'll see that in just a few moments. Here's this if. See Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. He says here in Deuteronomy 28 and also Leviticus chapter 26, pretty much identical to this here. And he sets a condition, if is a conditional statement, if you will do this, guess what? I will bless you above all nations. And he goes on to tell them, if you will obey me, I will make you prosper. I will make you prosperous. I will make your crops to abound, your cattle to proliferate. And everything that happens at your hands is going to be successful. Only thing you have to do is serve the Lord. How hard is that to understand? It shouldn't be hard at all. But see, down in verse 15 starts a whole new section for the next 40 some odd verses. He talks about that, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. When you are disobedient, you're not going to get blessings. You won't have any spiritual blessings. You won't have any physical blessings. See, God made sure of that. He says, if it happens, okay, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to withhold the rain. What happens when we have a drought? Yeah, we have a lot of problems. We sometimes see that. Of course, we don't suffer near as bad as they do in other countries when they have droughts. But yet, okay, it becomes a nuisance for us. We have to pay a little extra to the water company. We can only water our yard, and then our yard looks bad the rest of the summer. And so, yeah, we complain about that. And so, but the farmers out there, when their crops dry up, what's their income going to be that year? They better have insurance, because if they don't, then they're in trouble. All right, so God makes the point here in Deuteronomy 28. If you obey me, things will be good. If you don't obey me, things are going to be bad. And so he constantly reminds the people that. And that same message applies to us today. If we will serve the Lord, we're going to have blessings. We're going to have spiritual blessings. But if we don't obey the Lord, those blessings won't be there. John 14, 23, Jesus answered, said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If is that conditional statement. 1 John 2, 3, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. It's that condition. If we keep his commandments, we're going to know Jesus. There's a lot of people out there in this world saying, oh, I know Jesus, he's a personal friend, he's my personal savior, but they don't keep his commandments. They're just fooling themselves. Galatians 5:22, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, here's Paul is having to remind these people, if you're going to claim to be a child of God, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, if you're going to claim that you're in a right relationship with God, you better be walking exactly like he told you to walk, and not any other way. You can't walk the way of the world, and people get the mistaken idea, oh, there's a Christian. Can you imagine someone walking by you and you observe this drunk over here staggering all over the place, unkempt and just a vile creature? You can tell just by his tattoos and other things. Oh, there's a mighty good Christian over there. You're going to shake your head. What? And everybody in this world would do the same thing. What? I mean, you look at this guy, no, you're going to decide that's not the case. But Paul says, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, if you want people to think that you're a Christian, behave like one. Shouldn't be that hard to understand. See in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What are we going to reap? We're going to reap salvation. We're going to reap heaven if we don't lose heart, if we don't give up, if we remain faithful, if we do what he tells us to do. A lot of ifs in there. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. He had to remind them. Yes, we have to have faith. And that's involved in this condition. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's our first step. Do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and he arose again? I wasn't there. You weren't there. But guess what? We have eyewitness accounts written down for us. And we see how it changed their lives. And so, okay, there's some credibility there. Especially when we accept the fact that the Bible is the Word of God and brought to us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not make mistakes. Of course, if you listen to all these denominational preachers out there, you got to get the idea that the Holy Spirit had a lot of mistakes because they teach things that's not in there. 2 Timothy 2:11. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Now he's speaking metaphorically, but he's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. And that just kind of goes into what he said back in Romans chapter 6. If we die with him, we're buried with him, we're raised to walk in newness of life. And so, we become a new creature. And we live that way. Then guess what? We will live with him forever. In the next verse says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. And there's many ways to deny Jesus. You don't have to say, I reject Jesus as the Lord. You just got to live the wrong way. You know, Titus 1 and verse 16, they profess to know God, but their deeds deny him. We can say all we want, I love Jesus. But if we're living like the world and acting like the world, and somebody in the world can't tell the difference between us and somebody of the world, we're not living the way we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to let our light shine. If you turn it off or hide it under that bushel basket, it's not going to shine. That is the same as denying Jesus. You're denying Jesus to others when you do that. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? I mean, God has a punishment coming for those who don't serve the Lord. And if we neglect that great salvation he's provided, what's going to happen to us? We won't go to heaven. Plain and simple. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are. We are his house. We are the church. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. In other words, being a faithful Christian until we die. That's how it's going to happen. But there's that if in there. There's that condition. We have to do this constantly. Doing it one time and then thinking that's good enough, that's not going to cut it. Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. When we decide to be baptized, we come down and make that good confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That kind of tells us we need to be expressing that. And I think the scriptures tell us we need to be expressing that every day for the rest of our lives. Jesus is my Lord. He is my King. He's the one that I honor and respect as King. And so we become partakers with Christ. There's several passages in the New Testament that talks about how we become partakers with Christ. We share with Christ in certain things. We share with him in the death, burial, and resurrection. We share with him in his glory. And we have the promise, Colossians 3, verse 4, that we will share glory with him. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In order for that to happen, we've got to be walking in the light. How do we walk in the light? That means we've got to be faithful. Jesus is the light. He is the true light. And we need to be walking in him. You cannot be doing things of this world and at the same time claim to be walking with Jesus. It doesn't work. We have to do what he commands us to do in the page of his scriptures all the time. 1 John 1:9. Here's another. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a lot of people out there that says you don't have to confess your sins. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to worry about your sins. You don't have to confess sins anymore because he automatically cleanses them. He automatically takes them away, so you never have sin associated with you. And they're going to go on and even go to the point that I don't care if this person is a rapist, a murderer, a thief, or whatever. If he's confessed Lord Jesus at one time in his life, he doesn't have to worry because he has no sin. You watch a person commit a crime and you say, he has no sin. Is that logical? Not for us. If a policeman sees someone breaking the law and then just turns his eyes and says, he has no sin, I mean, what are we going to... We're going to replace that policeman, right? That's what we're going to want. We're going to want that policeman replaced because he's supposed to uphold the law and he's just letting people get away with it. And sadly, in our society today, they let too many people get away with breaking the law. And that's something we have to deal with. That makes it really, when you think about it, harder on us. Because we teach we have to be abiding by book, chapter, and verse, doing exactly what the scripture says, and then there's our society says, well, you don't have to follow the rules. You can still get along and be blessed with the American dream, and you don't have to follow the rules. It makes it hard on us, right? We teach that if you are obedient to Jesus, you're going to have salvation. They teach you don't have to be obedient to Jesus. We'll give you salvation anyway. Now, what is more comforting when you think about it? Well, obviously, the latter part. 1 John 2:3. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We are children of God if we keep his commandments. And constantly breaking his commandments or not doing his commandments is not going to be an acceptable way. Now here's another small word. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now when you listen to the denominational preachers, we just scratch out that word all and change it to some. Jesus told his disciples, some authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In other words, I'm very limited. God didn't give me the ability to do what I wanted to. And you can go teach only the people you're comfortable teaching. So we don't have to teach them all, just the ones we're comfortable teaching. Maybe our best friends, we might bring up Jesus to them. But we're not going to make any efforts to go and find someone who needs Jesus. No, we're not going to do that. And we're certainly not going to teach them to deserve all of what Jesus commanded. No. Well, we'll pick and choose what we want to obey. That's how most people act. That's not what the scripture says. All is all inclusive. If you get some or most or part, that's not all. We can understand that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given that way. Everything from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and verse 21. I mean, it's all there. All scripture is given by inspiration. And it's profitable for us. Sure, some of it may be difficult to understand, but that just tells us we need to study it a little bit more. It all can be understood. And the reason you do that, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, which we are supposed to do. Now, we're just going to look at a few other words. Sin is a very small word. It carries heavy consequences, doesn't it? That's the problems in this world. Sin, I mean, everybody does it. And, of course, those who are Christians, we're told to avoid sin, right? 1 John 2 and verse 1, the command is to sin not. In other words, don't sin. You know, some people get the idea, well, I'm a sinner, I'm going to sin anyway, so let's just let it go. I'll ask for forgiveness later. No, as Christians, we should recognize what our weaknesses are and avoid those weaknesses. Avoid any opportunity, avoid any temptation that might come our way. Sin is a bad thing. And of course, sin happens because of that middle letter, right? I. What I want to do. There's not a sin in all of recorded Bible or all of recorded history that doesn't take place without I being involved. I wanting to do it. Even when Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, says, well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I can't help it, I'm just going to do it. Yeah, it grieved Paul that he continued to sin even though when he knew better. And it should grieve us when we sin. But sin is a small word. How about go? Go is a word often ignored while we rejoice in our salvation but have no concern for other souls. You know, we sing that song sometimes talking about how we rejoice. We have salvation and there are others living in sin. No, go is a command that God gave each and every one of us. The fact that we have accepted Jesus, the fact that we have accepted His teaching, automatically makes us responsible to go and teach others. And yet it remains so often ignored. I, smallest word, I, in many cases can be a sign of pride. As we mentioned, it's the middle letter of sin. But we also need to see that I can be important to others. I can encourage others. I can teach others. I can assist others. I can do so much for the Lord. And then we limit ourselves. Us. Once again, a small word, but it's so very important in our relationships. As a body of Christians together, us is so very important, because if we study long enough, we understand how we need each other. We are so important to each other. And so we need to work on developing the us relationship. It is so very important. And you can come up and think of other small words that carry a lot of importance. Just when I was coming up here, I was thinking of the word and. You know, and is used a lot. It's a conjunction that joins two different thoughts. And there's a lot of people that we've had this argument before. Well, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, you need to believe, but you don't have to be baptized. What is that word and in there for? It is a conjunction that ties the two together. You must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. So, and, another small word, is very important. So, do. God does not want us to be bystanders and hearers only. We are to do His commandments, and it is not optional. If God promised blessings upon the condition that we meet His requirements. All, not some, not part, not half, or not even most. God wants us to do all that He commands of us and accept all that He gave to us. And the other words are included. And in some ways, they're all related. Do, if, and all. They're all associated in these things. So there's your lesson tonight. Consider that. They're little words. They're important words. And they are powerful words. We always offer the opportunity for someone to get right with God if they need to, whether by obedience to the gospel, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, confess His name, be baptized for the remission of sins, or to get right with God if you have been out of duty, out of faith. We always offer that opportunity. So if there's anything we can do for you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.